everyone. Happy good Thursday to you. Hope you're doing fantastic. My name is Mark Killens. We're about to kick off the first ever episode of Air Meat Adventures. Daryl, what is up, my friend?
Mark, it's episode one, Adventures. This is such an epic series, and it couldn't come at a better time. So I just have to assume, though, that the regular guest that you wanted on here was sick and I'm the fill-in. What's going on?
Oh my goodness. No, not at all. This is such a great first episode. We're going to get right into it very quickly, everyone. If this is your first time experiencing an Air Meat event, welcome. Chat, Q&A, we got it open. Hello, everyone. Yeah, from Scotland. Ruby, hello. How's Scotland today? How you doing? So yeah, we're gonna do a rapid fire conversation around three topics, all focused on how the show must go on. It's not time to retreat. It's time to recalibrate. Like, we're in this quasi state, Daryl. Are we in a recession? Are we not in a recession? There's definitely signs of economic slowdowns. What's your take on the whole thing before we do some introductions?
Oh, we're full on marketing as if we're in a recession. In our point of view, we are. And we've changed all of our messaging to that effect. It's not about growing your business. It's about surviving already. And if you want proof, Pavilion released the numbers that in June, 40% of execs missed their number. 40%. You're seeing layoffs. You're seeing reductions. We're all getting the pressure to evaluate our cash flow and our staffing and our hiring plans. All the signs are there, Mark. All the signs are there.
Good points. We'll talk more about that. So let's do some quick intros and we'll get right into it. And we'll do an icebreaker with you all as well. Again, my name is Mark Killens. I'm the CMO of Air Meat. I joined Air Meat about 3.5 months ago and I've been loving it. Before Air Meat, I was at HubSpot and Drift. And I really love talking about all things marketing, but more importantly, Daryl, marketing strategy and how it really drives business outcomes in the form of pipeline, revenue, retention. And I know you believe in the same thing. So let's have you do an intro, everyone. Daryl Prill from Gorapulse, the CMO. He's actually an Air Meat customer. You got a huge event that I'm speaking at in a few weeks. Why don't you do a quick intro for everyone?
All right. I'm Daryl Prill. I'm the CMO to Gorapulse. Exactly as Mark said, I've beat him on tenure. He's like three and a half months. I'm at 5 months. So I'm like the old man here on the show. All right. And I'm the odd duck because I was just at VanillaSoft most recently for the last 5 years, which is a sales engagement platform where I was the chief revenue officer. I'm that guy. I'm that marketer that became a CRO and then went back to being a CMO. How's that? But because of that, as you might imagine, I'm all in on sales. I have the biggest mistake marketers make is they don't understand sales. They don't embrace sales. But it is everything we do is driven by the bottom line. That's my passion. That's what I do. Like you, I love this strategy. My Twitter handle is opinionated. Go figure that one out if you can spell it. And that should tell you everything you need to know about me. So there you go.
I love it. And especially during an economic downturn, marketing and sales and even customer success have got to be more aligned, more deeply partnered than ever before. And we'll talk about that. All right, everyone. So we have two options for the icebreaker today. There's two options. You can pick. I'm going to give you two options. Everyone likes options, right, Daryl?
I'm waiting to see where this goes.
Okay, so head over to the chat. It's just on the right-hand side of the experience in Air Meat. And let us know, what is your favorite summer activity? A lot of people, at least in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, experiencing summer. If you're experiencing winter, you can switch it up if you want. Or what is your three-word bio? Three words to describe your bio. Which one are you going to go with, Daryl?
I'm going to go with the three-word bio.
Go.
My three-word bio. After much thought, here we come, opinionated, energetic marketer. That's how I identify. And if you take that away from me, I will be a happy camper. Which, by the way, is something I do in the summer. See what I did there? Anyway.
That's pretty good. We got Carl surfing and fishing, beach. Yes, Rachel, hiking in the summer. What's your favorite place to hike, Rachel? Beach and baseball, yoga, vegan, travel. Nice, Lala. Very nice. Positive, bold, events, obsessed. I mean, my three-word bio, father. It's going to be pretty simple. Father, marketer, adventurer.
Now I'm feeling bad that I didn't say father. I guess it sucks if you're my kid. Five word. Opinionated, energetic, marketer, father, husband. There we go. I've got all the bases covered.
Oh my goodness. Oh, yeah, I love it. Mother, marketer, travel junkie, love, beauty, joy. These are great. These are all fantastic. All right. So folks, We're going to get right into the content right now. We've broken this into three different sections. We have a few couple slides to keep us honest. We're going to do 10-minute sprints about these three different overarching kind of chapters of this show must go on, don't retreat, recalibrate, and then what are you going to do next? We're going to stay true to that. But as we do this, please let us know if you have a question. We'll bring you on stage. You can raise your hand right inside of AirMeet. If you have a comment, share the comment. If you have a question but don't want to go on stage, just use the Q&A. And at the end of this, we're going to head over to the fluid space. It's in the agenda. Check out the agenda if you haven't yet. And for the last 15 or 20 minutes, we're going to just have just dynamic, fluid-like conversations where you can bump into each other and talk about what you learned, what were some of your big takeaways, what would you add to the conversation. Daryl and I will be in there as well, hanging out, bouncing around to different conversations that are happening. We're going to make this as engaging as possible. What do you say, Daryl?
10 minutes. It's like ESPN. Let's do this, baby.
All right, here we go. Here we go. Let me pull up the first slide and we can get right into it. So you know where we're at. We got that covered. First, don't retreat. So we're going to talk about two things here. Common themes we've both observed in past downturns. And let us know too, right? If you folks experienced the downturn of 2008, 2001, the dot-com crash, could be something even earlier. Let us know what you have seen and how it applies into today's like situation. Each one is different. And then we're going to spend a few minutes on what are the go-to-market priorities for the next 6 months? And I think one of the key things here is how can you be more agile in your marketing, in your sales, et cetera? So that's the next 10 minutes. Let's get right into it. What are some of your observations, Daryl, like in terms of today, but then comparative to past downturns that you think are important to learn from?
Okay. So like you said, I've been there for 2008, been there for 2001 and earlier. I think that was the word you used, and earlier. So that we'll just leave it at that in the white hair. All right. So lived it. And this is a recurring theme I see every single time in no particular order. What I see is CMOs are going to get massive pressure to cut spend. All right. That's number one. I'm stating the obvious. I'll start with the simple one. We can go into that. Number two, they're going to go to marketing first before any other department. Why? Because we're the only ones with program spend. Everybody else is people and they don't want to cut people. Number three, they're going to be reticent to cut people. They will cut marketing to the bone before they cut a person. And that's a huge mistake. Number four, they're going to have micro oversight management of all the activities you're doing and the lead flow volumes you're creating. And even though you're in an economic downturn, they're going to expect you to produce results like it was boom times, and they will not give you an out. At least they will try very hard not to give you an out. They're going to go after your tech stack hard and ask you, what can you get rid of? All right. That's the next thing. Let me see. What have I missed here? Oh, last thing. You're going to experience higher churn. And instead of fixing the customer problem, because they're churning, and they're probably churning because they're in financial straits too, they're going to go back to marketing and ask you to backfill and still hit your contributions that they forecasted a year ago when times were good. That's top of mind. Mark, what did I miss?
I think you nailed it. I don't think you missed anything. You talked about program spend, technology spend, the cost of people, targets probably not really decreasing. If you can work with your executive team and board to adjust targets based off of a realistic forecast, I definitely would try to do that. But no, I don't think you really missed anything. So the question now is, all right, so some of these things have happened. What do you do to adjust your go-to-market strategies? I'll give you one to start with, Daryl. And it's actually something we're doing right now today. I think one of the most important things a business marketing team can do when it comes to an economic downturn is create more partnerships and quality partnerships with other companies that fit within your ICP and other communities that have your ideal buyer persona, your ICP, where those people are talking, engaging, interacting. So partnerships is my first takeaway for everyone. And we'll give some examples of what we're doing at AirMeet, what I've done at past companies. But what do you think about that strategy?
So partnerships are huge. And that's funny you mentioned that, because one of the first areas we go to, it's always thinking about a couple things, right? How do people buy? And they buy first and foremost by trust and reputation, no matter what we say or how cool their features are, because buying is risk. So we need to offset the risk. So do I trust you? That's one of the key areas there is partners, because they already trust their key vendors or their key service providers. Therefore, if I can align myself with that partner, two things happen. I get the trust halo, number one. Second thing is I get a broader reach, Number two. So when you're going to see is you're going to see your signups for your webinars or the downloads and your content go down, and you're going to say, I can't do anything more because my list is my list and I'm growing it organically and this is what I got. That's where the partners come in, because you reach an audience that you wouldn't reach normally, and ergo, you get more leads and you get the trust factor. So partners are huge. And that's just not partners as in I'm going to go and do a joint event with AirMeet. That might be I'm going to do an event and I'm going to, even though it's between Mark and I, we're going to get 3, 4, or 5 more complimentary vendors or partners and have them just quote unquote sponsor it. And then we'll maybe share some of the lists or we'll share some of the content and we'll do this exchange. So there's lots of ways you can do partnerships. It can be formal or it can be informal, but it's all about building relationships.
And I would add one last thing to that, and then I want to have you give one of your go-to-market pieces of advice for the next 6 months as it relates to, you know, what you said in the beginning, what's going to be cut. Co-selling. Don't forget, it's not just about co-marketing and like the informal, formal marketing side. There is co-selling partnerships that can also be formed during these economic downturns. And you don't need to do a lot to maybe get one of those going. Just, hey, we're going to refer some of your customers. We're going to refer some of your customers, and you'll figure it out. So I think the faster you can identify some of these opportunities, and this is where like having a network is so important, these the better position you're going to be in for, like you said, trust and audience reach. But how about you, Daryl? Next tip that you want to give people to go to market.
Okay, so for go to market, it's inevitable that your budget's going to get cut. Just anticipate it. And if you have managed to avoid it, please teach us, because it's inevitable. All right. Understanding that, how do you offset that? Because maybe you had money spent to go and attend Dreamforce. Who the hell knows? Right? Massive investment. There you go. And now that's gone. Okay. The best way to do this in this modern environment, and I would argue anytime, but it's more prolific now. And you're hearing about it, if you're at all tuned in, dark social. Dark social is the word. Dark social is the buzz. All right. But all dark social truly is, and for those who don't know, dark social is just how do you get a lead? It's a lead that you can't attribute the source to. All right. That's really all it is. Guess what? It's these events here that we're doing right now. It's social media. And what it is, you're making content that is shareable. So when you're out there making content, you can do it on your camera, on your phone. You can do it on your webcam. You can just carry your phone with you. You can do a walkie-talkie. You can do a TikTok. It doesn't matter what it is. And I know, by the way, I know TikToks are scary. But you can make all this great content, and that becomes your hub and your content machine, which are all spokes, blogs, and TikToks, and everything else. And then you share it out there. And if you're doing it with partners, they share it too. And you do the same thing. And that comes back to you because people share good content. Like we're seeing here, we're seeing in the chat, gold. That means somebody liked what was said and they're going to say, hey, did you hear Mark and Daryl? They talked about this. You got to go check them out. That's dark social. That's what you got to do. Hub and spoke, repurposing, social, everything I just said, free.
I love it. It's like use as many people in your company that are willing to participate as a megaphone as well. Like you're saying, the dark social piece of it. Yep.
In fact, I had the conversation with my executive team last week at our leadership team, and I said, we suck at employee engagement and advocacy. So we went and bought a tool so that for all the key stuff, all the employees can start sharing it. We all know we should be doing it. We haven't been doing it. Now's the time when you start doing it.
Okay, love it. 5 minutes left in the segment. I'll give you another pro tip, everyone, around how do you think about your go-to-market strategies for the next 6 months now? Product marketing. Hopefully your whole product marketing team doesn't get cut. Unlikely that would happen, because that would be like saying, hey, we don't have a product to sell. Double down on value-based messaging. Double down on understanding the ROI that your product delivers and articulating that messaging. Really hone in on what makes you different. This is super powerful stuff. It's not the easiest thing to do necessarily, but if you really focus on it and equip your sales team with this and your customer success team with this, and then update your website and infuse this messaging and infuse this value-based kind of messaging and more solution-oriented messaging across what Daryl just said, the content, and just across the everything you do, it will help you out. I've seen it because we went through this transition at Drift. Drift was a very transactional type of sale when I joined in 2019, wasn't very value-centric. Over time, we changed that to value-centric. Guess what happened? ACVs, or average sales price, increased dramatically, and win rates went up. And that's what you want to see during a recession.
I'm going to give you two, all right?
Go.
And these are not tactics as in an event or a webinar. This is not what I'm going to give you. All right. Number one, know your numbers. What is your cost per lead by channel? What is your customer acquisition cost? What is your long-term value? What is your churn? All right. Because you're going to get hammered to reduce spend. And if you can't defend it, you will lose it. If you can defend it, you will keep it, or at least keep more than you would have. You need to know your numbers, and you need to know the sales numbers too. You need to know the numbers and your contribution. That's number one. Number two, we talked about the tech stack. Now's the time to renegotiate. Make sure there's no renewals. Make sure there's no auto renewals. Now they're in the same pressure you are. So you have the chance now to revisit that Gong license you've got, as an example, and maybe you get Chorus there or Refract there and have a competitive duel. Maybe you're still biased towards Gong, but having multiple people bid for the business lowers the overall price. That's the first part. Second part is maybe you go monthly instead of annual. Yes, you lose the discount, but you can pull the plug with 30 days notice. So if times get really bad, you have a fallback routine. Why do I tell you these two things? Because you are at risk of losing your job because you're an expensive line item. So you got to be able to show your value.
Two companies that can help you with the last thing you said, Vendor, V-E-N-D-R, and SpendFlow. I use Vendor Adrift. Recommend it. It's a good thing to check out. One more minute, maybe two more minutes in this. So because you talked about channels, we'll get to channels in just a moment because we want to double down on like we're talking kind of high level things now, like strategies, strategic initiatives, things you can do at a high level. We're going to get to channels in the next section. I'd say the other thing that's really top of mind for me is around doubling down on telling the story of your customers. It goes back to the vision, value-based messaging thing I just talked about, orienting around value and ROI. But get your customers to be even louder during an economic downturn, right? Get them, for every one customer, get them to refer two or three customers. Double down on reviews. Double down on the voice of the customer as much as you can and infuse that voice of the customer throughout your marketing. Everything from your website to social to content to events. I mean, you're a customer. Thank you. Greatly appreciate your loyalty. This is a no-brainer to me. It's another type of partnership, but on the customer side of things, Daryl.
Building on what Mark just said, you already spent a lot of money to get that customer. You've already spent that money. All right. We know how much it costs to acquire a new customer. It's not cheap, but you've already got a customer. So when they're evaluating where to cut, you want them to defend your investment. So not just tell the story and be spot on 1,000%, but also you want to give back to, you want to engage, you want to involve them. You want them to be your biggest champion. So double or triple the money you're doing on customer marketing now, because new customer acquisition is going to be hard, but you want to at least keep the revenue you got so you can survive this downturn.
Yeah, and you can get creative too. We got a question from Gene. So before we answer that question, you can get creative by just partnering with customer success people. There might be other people in your organization that would want to do marketing with you. I saw this at HubSpot. I saw this at Drift. Don't assume you only can rely on your marketing team during a downturn. No, there's salespeople, customer success people, support people that would be happy to help you do some type of marketing. Maybe it's nights and weekends. Maybe it's part-time. Maybe it's part of them. Maybe wanted to join the marketing team. There are other people. Seek those people out. Don't try to do it all on your own.
And I would build on that to say two things. What Mark just talked about was basically evangelists. You want to foster and develop a boatload of evangelists across your organization because they're all going to hit and appeal to different people, different personas within your business development efforts. Rather, I would appeal to the executive, but somebody in customer success might appeal to the actual user, as an example. So you want to have this full approach. Second part, if you're a marketer, you may not like what I'm going to say to you, but guess what? You need to be an evangelist. You need to be in front of the camera. You need to be leading by example. And again, I know TikTok's scary. I'm not on TikTok yet, but I will be. You got
to
do it.
Let's move to the next section. There is this question from Gene. He just wants to know, what's the tool you purchased when it comes to helping your team share things, employee advocacy?
Oh, people come to me. It was something they'd already gotten. It wasn't a main product, I believe, that they found on Product Hunt of all places, which says not every tool needs to be a Cadillac. Right? Give me 1 second. I will get it for you. I will multitask. Something advocacy.
Take your time. I'll pull up the slide. We'll switch to the next section. And folks, remember to use those emojis at the bottom. I see some hearts coming through in the last thing you said, Daryl. blow up the emojis when you think we're good, when we're right, when we're wrong, when we see something funny. Like, we want the reactions. All right, there you go. I see them all. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate it. Let me pull up the slide really quick. It's just fun to use those emojis. I don't know. It's fun, Daryl. It's just like a fun thing to do.
Emojis are where it's at, man. Every new release from Apple or Android is always about the latest emojis. Come on.
It's true. That's all I pay attention to. So we just talked about don't retreat. We just gave you probably 6, 7, I don't know, maybe that was 9 different things you could potentially do at a more strategic level. Now we're going to talk about recalibrating. All right, so you're going to double down on some things. You talked about ROI of channels and, like, not just cost per lead, but cost per opportunity, cost per deal even. And that's super important. Know your numbers, like you said. And then talking a bit more about marketing budget prioritization. I experienced some interesting things at Drift when it came to budgeting, like good things that I'm looking forward to sharing with you all. I've implemented some of them at Aramete, but having budget rigor is super important. So let's talk about recalibrating money, channels, maybe other things like the offers you should be creating or shouldn't be creating during a downturn. Let's get right into it. So would you just cut out any channels completely, Daryl? How would you think about cutting out channels? Let me ask, maybe that's a better way to think about it.
So two things. This goes back to your numbers, right? So one of the things I would go to many marketers, and this is a good example, just an example. It's not because I'm at AgoraPulse. I would say, what's your cost per lead for events? Most marketers would say it's this. That's a channel. What's your cost per lead for paid media? Google, right? Pay-per-click. And they would say it's this. I'll say, what's your cost per lead for social media? And they'll stare at you like you're like social media, right? Mm-hmm. So you need to know all of your numbers, because you can't answer Mark's question, what would you cut out, if you don't know your numbers? And trust me, the CEO, and even more importantly, the CFO will ask that question. Daryl, we need to cut. Where are you going to cut? That's why you need to know your numbers. Would I cut a major channel? Yes. Short term for a quarter or two, if need be. I would also pull back hard on a couple of channels. So for example, a simple way to do it, maybe I don't kill a channel like pay-per-click, but maybe what I do is I kill my branded pay-per-click spend, because that's something I can do for a couple quarters. So normally I would say no way in hell, but in these times I'm willing to do that for a quarter or two just to see what happens. But I'm going to look at my numbers, because I need to know if I need to turn that back on again or not. I'm not sure I answered your question, but that gives you a partial answer.
No, you definitely did. It's such a great example in terms of, like, only shutting off, say, 50% of your paid social or 50% of your paid search, right? Because which things are performing or not performing. A lot of thumbs up are coming across the board there. So I think you hit the nail on the head. The other thing I'd say to this in terms of a channel is outbound. People think outbound's a channel. Of course it's a channel, right? 30%, maybe 40%, maybe even more than that of your pipeline will come from outbound. Yes, marketing will influence that. A good marketing team is going to influence at least 90% or plus of that outbound effort. But this is the time, if you ask our sales leader at Aramete, Daryl, you sell your way out of a recession. You sell. So how can you double down and help your team be more effective at outbound? That goes back to some messaging things. That goes back to the account definition. Goes back to, like, dark social, dark funnel. Are people in market, out of market? But getting your team's signals of intent and interest and helping them develop sales plays for the outbound efforts with some maybe marketing air cover, if you have the money to do it, I think is super smart.
Okay. So this is my wheelhouse. This is what gets me up in the morning. Because again, I got the sales background. So a couple of things marketers can be doing, and this is going to be, some of this is going to be crazy talk. Okay. And your sales reps are going to go, whoa. Number one is you need to be in their face, in their space about those sales sequences. All right. In other words, you know how to do, you're already writing emails. You're already writing pay-per-click copy. You understand I got to have that 1 to 5 word subject line, clickbaity thing. I got the opening hook for the 210 characters on LinkedIn. You understand that. You understand structure. Most sales reps can't write an email to save their life, but you understand, maybe I go Josh Braun and TTT, or maybe I go at ADA or whatever I want to. The formats, you can bring this into the sequences. You're the data scientist, not the sales reps, because we know typically marketing owns ops. You can be measuring the conversion rate of these things. So finally, they talk about social selling. Most reps are scared crapless of doing social selling, but we're on social all the time. So you got to make sure they're doing multi-channel. The biggest thing is they talk about LinkedIn. They're rarely on LinkedIn. They talk about call planning, but they don't know how to plan a call. How can you make their life easier? The more intelligence you can give them in the lead flow process, for example, maybe you get the form and you do a call to a clear bid or a Zoom info and you append the data so they have more data, right? Maybe you got an intent signal from G2 so they understand how to prioritize and route the leads better. It's all about that lead flow into them. but you're the conversion expert. Help them with that. They will tell you they don't need you. They're wrong.
Oh, man. Round of applause. I got to throw an emoji out right now. Here we go. Watch this. Applausing for you.
Dang. I love it.
Damn. I want to follow up on something really quick, but we have a question from Jason. What is the best strategy for marketers to help retention and growth? Exchanging month-to-month pricing for 3 to 6 to 12 month agreements? Is there something else? I think it's just more around there's retention and then there's net new business. So there's kind of two questions in one. Where do you want to start?
I want to go with retention.
Yeah.
I want to go with retention. And I'm going to give you an answer that you're not going to see coming. The best way for marketers to help grow retention of the customers that you've spent so much money to acquire is for you to make sure that the sales rep's commission structure rewards that behavior. So for example, if you get the sales rep committed to a 1 year, there's a bonus for signing a 1 year deal up versus a 1 month deal up. Your driving behavior, they're not going to churn on you because they're committed for a month. That's retention. All right. Too many companies don't do that. I would ask every marketer on here, do you know the sales rep's commission plan? Because you should, because that's how you want to talk about sales and marketing alignment so you can get your programs actually represented and promoted by the sales teams. You need to know how they're motivated. You need to know, because they may make decisions that ignore you because their comp plan is somewhere completely different. So you either need to influence that or you need to know it and play to it. All right, that's the first part. Second answer on not retention, but on growing it, is you need to make sure that your reps know the content you're producing, because you're making all this amazing content and they're ignoring it. Now, you can use tools like a Seismic or a HireRoads or a GTM Buddy or whatever you want to, but the end of the day is you've got to hold them accountable. There's lots of ways. You can gamify it. Whoever gives the best book report on the blog we did this week, or the podcast we did this week, or the webinar we did this week, who gets the most likes and shares and engagement when they share it on social, gets $100 to Amazon. I don't care how you do it. You've got to force them to consume the content and share it. And once they share it, their peers will see the success they're having with it. And then boom, your revenue goes through the roof. There we go. Soapbox, Mark.
No, I love the passion. We're both super passionate with this stuff. I love it. One more before we switch to the final segment. And then we go into the Fluid Lounge and just meet each other. Just hang out, have conversations. It's an amazing experience. Goes back to measurement. Make sure you understand expansion pipeline. Like, for example, Daryl, the other day, I was like, folks, we're doing this great weekly business review about pipeline sales, marketing's in the room. I'm like, folks, we're blind right now on expansion pipeline. We pulled it in, or the pipeline number just grew by X percent for us. I was like, whoa. And then I'm like, so what's the close rate or win rate on that pipeline? 65% right now. Okay. You're not dialing in how you're thinking about expanding your customers, those that are seeing value, those that are using it, that are at the cusp of either the tripping to the next edition or the next tier or whatever you have for a pricing structure. And you're not like proactively looking at that and actually doing some maybe marketing to them or equipping your AMs or CSMs to do something like that and have that expansion pipeline in mind. I think it's a huge opportunity.
Oh my God. I mean, you are so nailing. So many marketers ignore expansion because they think, oh, that's customer success or somebody else, right? Or there's maybe an account manager and they deal with it. The reality is in this economy, that's when you go back. Like I talked about marketing back to your customers. That's another example, but I talked about knowing your numbers. So he talks about what is your expansion numbers? How can you increase those rates? You got to have targets out there. You got to gamify. You got to give them incentives, whatever. I don't care. That's the thing. You as marketers own, let's call it disposable money. Let's call it discretionary spend. All right. If I spend $100 for an Amazon gift card to help a rep do something versus spending $300 on a pay-per-click lead that may or may not convert, where do you think management's going to look at? They're just going to look at, hey, Daryl, you spent $100. It was good ROI. Do more of that. It's about surviving. And the CFO is going to become your best friend, which, by the way, before any of this happens, if you've not sat down with your CFO and say, what do you need from me? So we can be successful. So I'm not blindsided I should never hear at an executive team or at a team meeting that I need to cut. You and I should have talked before. Sit down with your CFO. They will give you lots of coaching before you ever have to make a decision. So you have time to make an informed decision and not look like a schmuck. So there we go.
Amen to that. All right, we're going to move to the next session. Folks, if you really want to come on stage and say something, again, we'll give you like 30 seconds, a minute. We don't have a ton of time, but like raise your hand. I can see it. We can, both of us can see it, and we'll get you on stage. Questions. Thank you so much for those. Oh, one question first for Jason really quickly. When you say expansion pipeline, are you referring to cross-selling and upselling? I'm referring to both. I don't know, Daryl, do you have an opinion?
Yeah, same thing. Yeah. Cross-selling and upselling.
Beautiful. All right. So here we go. Let's go into the next and final section of this fireside rapid fire chat between the two of us before we go again into that fluid lounge to keep the conversation going. So we just talked about recalibration. Now let's talk about taking specific action. And this is when I am going to get on my soapbox and talk a bit about events, because we saw some amazing things at Drift when it came to events as soon as the pandemic hit. So interesting story, Daryl. We at Drift, we're doing a lot of events before the pandemic. We had big in-person events. We did a lot of third-party events. We did a lot of, I would just say, clever and hacky, if you want to use that word. But I would say clever, smart, like event takeovers of other events without having to sponsor the event. By the way, that's another great way to do something on a low-cost budget. Just do something around an event, but not have to let anyone to be at the event. Anyway, when the pandemic hit, I was literally at home with my first child. He was born 3 weeks before lockdowns happened. And I'm looking at, I mean, I'm trying not to work, but like, oh my God, it's not easy. So I opened my computer, and the team had an in-person event coming up in London. It's 2 months from that point. I'm like, oh great, I have to look at this, obviously. What did the team do? Within, I think 3 or 4 weeks, we put on an event with 19 other partners. 19 other partners. It was like about, like, I think 10,000 people signed up. Don't quote me on that. It was the first Rev Growth event that we did. We did 6 or 7 of these across the pandemic. It was a virtual event, of course. But guess what we did? We took that event and reused so much of that content and so many of the relationships and partnerships we got from that event over the next 18 months. And those Rev Growth events drove, I don't know the exact number, but it's over 10 million in pipeline from those events, plus all the content. So it's like, if you're going to double down on something, kind of like we're doing here, I'd say double down on events, because your content budget might get cut. And if your content budget gets cut, it's like, what am I going to do for my content sample? We can't just like stop producing content. We talked about some of those things you could do, employees, et cetera, be scrappy, but use the event as a center of gravity and reuse the content. We're going to reuse this content like 3 or 4 ways at least. What's your take on it?
I spoke to this earlier, so clearly I agree with you. When I made the reference to hub and spoke, all right, which is the whole idea of repurposing, and the hub of that, and Justin Welch is an example. He talks about hub and spoke all the time. He's not the only one, but he's a big advocate of it, where he says, take your core piece of content, that's your hub, that's your event. And then your spokes are all the different ways to use it, that blog post, that social media clip, that ebook, whatever you can think of, a video, a quotation, what it doesn't really matter. That's the hub and spoke, and repurpose it. One piece of content derived from an event should be able to drive, typically on average, around 9 different pieces of content, which is the point I was saying to you, that you can do this way more affordably. And that's why, and we're talking about how do I kind of recession-proof my own strategy moving forward, virtual events. So I got a waiting. Virtual events are way up here. Live events are down here. On the live event side, I'm not going to be doing the Dream Forces of the world, because the ROI, it's a cool event. I love it, but the ROI is just not there for me because it's so big and it's a one and done. Virtual events, I can, to your point, we have a summit coming up right now at Agora Pulse happening, I think, August 25th, agorapulse.com/summit. There you go. And last year we had just shy of 3,000. So we know we'll have over 3,000 people signing up that I can then slice and dice. And it's over 50 speakers. Now you do the math, 50 people saying about stuff that I and my tribe care about on my brand that I can repurpose, that every one of those pieces of content has 9 different pieces of applications. This is stunning ROI. We talked about partnering early on. This is partnering. We talked about reach early on. This is reach. And he even talked about London. Guess what we didn't talk about? They're going to hammer you in this recession on your travel and living budget. So guess what? You're saving money there too. So this is exactly where I'm all in. Now I will do live events, but much smaller, highly focused, smaller live events.
100%. Like what you're talking about, I call content confetti. Right?
There you go. Same thing. Yeah.
Hub and spoke, content confetti, cornerstone content, all same stuff. And people think an event's content, but an event should also be connection. Hopefully you're going to form some connections today. You folks can meet people instantaneously through AirMeet. Check it out. But my point here is if you don't go to Dreamforce, you could still go to Dreamforce with one of your 2 or 3 strategic partners. And maybe to your point, Daryl, host a few dinners, host an informative session right by the campus of Dreamforce or Inbound or HubSpot or any of these things that are going on, but you don't have to sponsor the event. Use the center of gravity of all that audience coming to the event or the online event and piggyback off of it.
Now, the only thing that what you so I love exactly what you're saying, and there's a lot of ways you can do it. You can do that, and I'll throw one out there. You can do that one for driving new business, exactly what Mark's talking about, or you can also use that for influencer marketing, which is I've done the exact same thing, but I said we're all going to be at Dreamforce. So I've got like 25 to 50 VIP social media influencers, no customers, nobody else, just social media influencers. And this sounds crazy, but hear me out. What happens is I got 50 people who are active in this space who all have a reach. They're all creators, influencers, and I'm paying the bill. I get them one-on-one for like 2-3 hours. And you know why they go? Because they never have a chance to just hang out with their other creators and other influencers. They're always on. So they love to go, but then I got a video crew, I'm recording my ass off and we're getting great sound bites. And then whenever I wanna do an event in the future, I can then say, hey, it's Daryl. We hung out at Dreamforce at that VIP social media influencer only gathering. I need you on this live stream with Mark and I. Boom, they're in, done.
Talk about community building, something we kind of haven't exactly talked about, but like that, I love that. Community building, like 101 almost, right?
Yeah, it's totally community building. It's totally. In fact, Agorapulse, it's funny, just an example about the importance of community building. We don't talk a lot about this because we have this idea of church and state in our company because it's all about integrity, but we have a social media, we have social media pulse.community. It's a non-Agorapulse branded. So they can, they're Switzerland. They can talk to anybody and any vendor in the space they want to, but it's just a community. But the reason we do that is because then I can take the community people, the topic threads and everything else, and I can bring it into my content feed and I can actually use it for content ideas. Plus, it's a chance for me to see what is the community wanting, and then I can make content that resonates with them. All right. And plus, they can, we, the community's pretty good. They know we're behind the scenes, but not active. So when they're evaluating and shopping, they think, oh man, they give us this great community. I should invite them to at least try for the business. So community's huge. Community is part of my huge campaign calendar I have, guys. Oh, you have webinars, events, emails. I've got a dedicated slot for every single month. What are we doing in community? So community, man, it's where it's at. No,
it's super smart. And you can, and events are great because they build community, right? Like anytime
online. They go together.
Yeah. And I love the conversations that are happening right now in the chat. Questions. Thank you, folks. We're going to wrap it up in just a minute. One last thing though, that I have to get off my chest, because when it comes to events and doing something that I think is going to be super effective, we talked about customers. We talked about the importance of doubling down with customers. How do you create expansion pipeline? Do more customer education, right? So host every month, maybe every, depending on how many customers you have, how diverse they are, the segments, maybe it's every week. We do this at HubSpot. They still do it to this day, do it at Drift. Customer specific training events, learning segments, anything to help them get more value, not even just about your product, but about the overall category, the industry, an expert AMA session, anything, right? Get your customers better educated through an event like this, then repurpose the content. We already talked about that, but I feel don't just focus on like demand gen, focus on and demand capture creation, like focus on customer success and advocacy.
Yeah. Which we've hit multiple times, going back and investing back in your customer base. That's why. And it's true, because you're creating loyalty, which grows retention, which reduces churn, which then allows you the expansion revenue. There's so much goodness coming back at you. They just want to know that they matter. That's all they want to know.
Do an online user conference. If you don't have the money to do it in person, or if you could do a small one, to your point, Daryl, that's really targeted, do that with maybe like VIP customers or whatever, but like do an online user conference in the next 6 months. Trust me.
But I will say one thing, when you're, whether it's with your existing customers or looking outward to new customers, remember one thing, marketers, please. You are the brand, all right? So for example, I'll throw this out there. If you're using Zoom to do your webinars and then halfway through your customers start going wonky and you're stuck, and you don't know what to do and there's no interaction, there's no layouts, no control, no look and feel. Like you want to look like CNN. You want to look like you're polished. You've got your act together. So you want to invest in your brand as much as you want to invest in your community and your content. Because again, it always goes back to how we all began this conversation. I want to trust you. I don't want you to feel like you're risky to me. So when they start doing the dark social and they're sharing, part of the impression that people are getting is not just from what you say, it's how you look saying it. Do you look credible? So sounds stupid, soft thing, branding, decent quality cameras, decent quality mics, all that usual stuff. Invest a little time. It's totally got huge ROI.
Every interaction matters. I say that all the time. Every single one. Yep. Love it. Okay. So we're going to wrap up initial. Like, you have a great question. Head over to the Fluid Lounge in just a moment. We're just going to do one last thing before we go to the Fluid Lounge. It's in the agenda at the top. I hope to see you all in about 3 weeks. We have the second episode of Eventions. We have two amazing, amazing leaders. One on the sales side, one on the marketing side, Sarah and Jack. They're going to be going all toe to toe on how they can really double down on the alignment here. We talked a little bit about that, but they're going to really double down on that. And specifically when it comes to events as well, like, how do I get better pipeline from events, and how do I just work better together overall? So we really hope to see you at that one, August 16th. You can sign up right now, check it out. And then if you just leave this session, you'll be able to go back and check out the agenda. You can also view the schedule right at the top of your screen. If you see, click view schedule, that's the agenda, just to make sure everyone knows where to go. Click on the next thing in the agenda. There's one other thing. It's the Fluid Space. Check it out. Daryl, I cannot say thank you enough, though. This has been awesome.
It's been epic. It's good marketing, good community. Aaron Meets, where it's at, man.
I appreciate it. And if you can join us. You're going to join us, though, right, for 15 minutes?
I'm going to head over there right now.
All right, everyone. Hope you enjoyed it. Thank you so much for the great interaction, engagement. We'll see you there right now.